This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. All eyes on U.S. women's soccer today as they battle Brazil for the gold. The match underway, the U.S. up 1-0. And on the court, says ABC's Jana Norman in Paris.
The women's basketball team continued their reign of dominance, trouncing Australia 85-64. They'll now play on Sunday for an unprecedented 8th consecutive gold medal. And making its Olympic debut, breaking. Japan's Ami Yuasa coming out on top, wowing the judges with her fierce power moves and top rocking, setting the new gold standard.
Dozens of people reportedly killed, including children, after Israel launched a new round of airstrikes on a school complex in Gaza. The IDF saying the location was also being used as a Hamas headquarters and hideout. Both Vice President Harris and former President Trump making their cases to voters this weekend, as new polling analysis suggests that the race is now dead even. This is ABC News. Remnants of Hurricane Debby's deadly storms are racing north, leaving neighborhoods along the East Coast underwater. ABC's Perry Rumsum in Potomac, Maryland.
The power of what was Hurricane Debby felt along nearly the entire East Coast. Tornadoes in multiple states.
Sounded like my house was getting torn apart.
At least 8 people are dead. Police say a 78-year-old woman in North Carolina was killed after a tree fell on her home. 4 states seeing more than a foot of rain. Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, nearly 19 inches of rain in Florida.
The FDA has approved the first nasal spray to treat severe allergic reactions. The drug called Neffy has been cleared for adults and children who weigh more than 66 pounds. The National Park Service says the Double Arch in Glen Canyon National Recreation Area in Utah has collapsed. The geologic feature was formed from 190-million-year-old Navajo sandstone and became a popular tourist destination. Officials say erosion from weather, wind, and rain degraded the arch over time. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is getting wider in Wisconsin. Mike Mohn has more.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison summary says income inequality in the Badger State isn't quite as high as the national level, but it has been growing steadily over the past 30 years. The author says higher income individuals benefit disproportionately from economic growth. Robert Craig with Citizen Action of Wisconsin says years of policy decisions and tax code changes are driving factors.
We need to deliver policy that restores the conditions for greater economic equality and greater racial equality, because our socioeconomic system is color-coded, and where you are more likely to be poor if you were black or brown than if you were white.
Craig says jobs tied to clean energy growth, spurred by federal investments, can help reverse years of troubling trends. But he says other important sectors, like childcare, need structural changes to foster stronger wage growth. Craig suggests if someone working a low-wage job can't take time off to attend a training course, they stand little chance of advancing in a new career. So, he says another reform that's needed is an overhaul of job training programs.
A lot of the workforce training programs we have are helpful to a number of people, but they don't move the inequality numbers because they don't reach enough people.
The Inflation Reduction Act has set aside billions to train and place people in clean energy jobs, but Craig says other programs need to pay people to train and start working in a new career much sooner. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high around 72. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 50. Sunshine and highs in the mid-70s on your Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 54. Slight chance of a shower on your Monday, otherwise partly sunny and 76.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Tune into the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll react to the news from the weekend and talk about the issues impacting us all. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. We are powered by Everlight Solar. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and here's today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Cripescast. This week, we've got a great Midwesterner on the podcast. His name is Nate Russell, a.k.a. Nate Russ. You've seen his stuff on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube popping up recently. He's got this great bug-in series, and I love a good video about bugs. So you got to check out his stuff, but it's great talking to Nate, who is a Indianapolis native. It's just great talking to another comedian kind of born and raised in the Midwest, just kind of making his way in the comedy world. So he it's fun story. Also, he's Baptist. I'm Catholic. We have some good religious talk back and forth. The differences between like the services. I thought that was fun. And overall, just a great dude to talk to. So I'm excited for you to all hear it. A fun thing about Nate, and really a reason I wanted to have him on, is he's been in the game for a while. And his videos just started popping off. So I know we have a lot of comedians out there who listen to this podcast, and I get a lot of questions from listeners about like, how much time do I give it before I realize if I should just quit and do something else? And the answer is there's no right answer on that. And if you are sort of loving creating whatever it is you're creating, whether it's comedy or music or, I don't know, journalism or painting or whatever your thing is, I think the moral of the story is just stay on it, because he was doing this for a decade, I think is what he said. And then all of a sudden, one video really popped off into a series and sort of exploded his following, not overnight, but over like a couple months. So all the hard work is going somewhere. And I think, you know, the big thing is just for us as people to just find our outlet and to keep going after it. And I also think it's cool. I get to talk to Nate at a point in his career where, like, he's got so much more to go, and just see like that energy and that excitement that he has about finding the next thing and sort of the next steps. And so I think it's cool to just see all the different processes of sort of someone's career. We have people on here who have like, you know, are retired essentially. And we have people who are like, you know, my peers, sort of Taylor and Miles and Nate and these guys who are like making it as we go, and we're just sort of talking about that as creators. So I really enjoy conversations like this. I think you will too. Want to let you guys know that I am on tour come the fall. We're going on the second leg of the good old fashioned tour. It's going to be a good time. Hope to see you guys out there on the road. If you want tickets, charliebehrens.com. And then also, we are continuing to raise money for Doctors Without Borders. You can find them linked up in the show notes or go to doctorswithoutborders.org and or follow them at Doctors Without Borders. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Nate Russ. Thanks for coming on, dude. I'm a huge fan of your videos.
Appreciate it. Likewise, brother.
Thanks, man. So you're down in
But where were you born and raised?
Born and raised in Indianapolis.
Got it. Okay, I saw that. So you got those Midwest roots then?
Yeah, man. You know, Hoosier State, man.
Yeah. When did you kind of move out of there? How long were you in Indianapolis for?
I've been down here in Georgia a little over 2 years.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Literally right outside of Atlanta. You know, I moved here for comedy, entertainment, all that, acting.
Yeah. So did you come up in... first of all, I am probably going to say this in the intro of the podcast and everything, but your videos, the bugging videos, I mean, yeah. they that's kind of the thing that just caused you to take off.
Which that's the wildfire.
Yeah, which was super cool because I love how you like hit that concept and you just found like that first one, maybe what, like 28 million views or something?
Something like that. And that's just on IG.
Yeah. Let's start with like the concept where for people who haven't seen the videos, kind of give them a little bit of a synopsis, but then like tell us where that sort of concept came from and what it was like when they first started taking off.
Gotcha. So the first video came from literally kind of out of nowhere. I was on my back patio, pacing back and forth. You know, I had my setup, you know, my phone, my tripod, trying to think of something else, just something unique, something. I was probably going to do something about relationships or a couple, I don't know, something. And as I'm pacing back and forth, a mosquito flies past and like lands on my shirt and I fan it away. Like, God, I hate mosquitoes. And then I said to myself, I bet even other bugs hate mosquitoes. I shot it in like 5 minutes, put it out the next day, and now I'm on Charlie's podcast.
Yeah, the light bulb went off or went on, and then the moth went to the light bulb.
Literally. So kind of literally. And then from to answer the other part, I saw it had traction. You know, you've created videos where you say to yourself, okay, this is a pretty good concept. This is creative. I believe in this one. Put it out the next day. It went crazy. And initially, I wasn't going to do a series. It was going to be a one-off video until I saw the response from people saying, hey, we want a part two. We want more of this. And I said, well, hell, why not?
Yeah.
Here we are. We'll be on part 35 tonight. So
that's awesome. I mean, and it's... I kind of had a similar thing with mine where the first video for me to take off was called The Manitowoc Minute, which was where I was doing news headlines with this Midwest accent, and then didn't expect to do another one. And I did another one. And then you kind of do a bunch of those. And then I sort of just branched out to other sketches and all that sort of stuff. Do you find, and you do other sketches. I've seen you do a bunch of other sketches. But how many videos did you do before this one kind of took off?
Before
the bugging series.
Yeah. Oh man, I've been doing content creation for 10 years. This is my most viral video, the first one rather, but it's been my most viral video. But yeah, I've literally been doing this since 2014. And I've had videos, you know, get some traction, but nothing like this. So, but yeah, you're talking about 10 years, man. So a lot of videos, hundreds of videos.
Yeah, it's cool to see sort of that consistency pay off, you know,
absolutely,
in the way it does. Because I kind of get the question a lot from people just randomly out and about, like, how did this happen for you? And sort of for me, it was just making videos and then starting with that, because then once one takes off, you know, to like really take advantage of that. I think almost maybe the worst thing to have happen is the first video you ever put out to do great, because then you don't take advantage of that. You assume it's going to happen every time.
Exactly.
So like you're doing these videos, but you also do stand up.
Absolutely.
Are you a stand up first comic or are you kind of a video first comedian?
I like to put myself as a stand-up first. A lot of content creators or online comedians, they get grouped in. They're like, oh, those guys can't do stand-up. And I like to say, no. I'm a stand-up comedian first. But I take both of them. equally as serious. You know, I'm serious about my online content. I'm serious about joke writing and my stand up as well. So, but yeah, I like to lead with stand up comedian.
Yeah, it's kind of like you can't just do one anymore. Like, well, let me say this. You can just be a video creator on the internet, but it's like, if you're a stand up, you can't just be a stand up. I feel like those days are gone. I don't know many people who are just a stand up and able to like really move tickets, you know?
And I will say the ones that I know that are just stand up, they've kind of been solidified for a long time. Mm-hmm. So even before the boom of content creation, that was all they were doing. So that's like, I'll just post clips of my stand up. But as far as coming in the game, slim to none.
Yeah.
Slim to none. Very, very few that I know just strictly post stand up and that's all. But I know a lot of people that do both. Now, do you do stand up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, that's where like the first bit that took off was from. It was from a stand up thing.
Okay.
It was from a stand up set and then I made it into a video. I started off in LA doing stand up. I was doing news transition to stand up. But it's funny because like I've been doing stand up like headline stand up since 2017, but there's still that aspect where like not everybody knows that, you know, or that's not the first thing you're known for.
Right.
Because we're in this, what most people know you for is what you're on their phone for all the time.
Exactly.
And that's these videos. But it's a cool thing for people who want to do stand up because it kind of democratizes it a little bit. Gets you, gets everybody able to, put their stuff out and get a following and sell tickets. And at the same time, it's almost hard to find yourself in such a clouded, crowded landscape, you know?
Yeah.
So to break through, especially in the way like that you did, like how did that feel when that thing took off and became sort of your biggest video after doing it for 10 years?
Man, it felt great. You know, you throw a lot of things at the wall and you're like, okay, this will stick or this will be my thing. If you would have told me, I don't know, even a couple years ago, a video about bugs, that's going to be the one that take you to a next level. I'm like, yeah, okay, I got some better stuff than that. But, you know, the people will tell you what they like. It feels good to know that after so long, like, okay, I'm in the right direction. I'm doing the right thing. Yeah, man, it just feels good.
A big reason, like, I wanted to talk to you on this podcast, though, is like, I feel like you're in such a cool place as a creator and as a comedian, and also the Midwest roots, but to be at that point where your stuff is just really taken off, because it's like a fun, creative place to be, and you get so much, I feel like, energy from it, especially at this point. And how you utilize it and go forward is like still very open. Do you know sort of where you want to take this concept, or are you kind of at that point of where it's like just a video at a time, next video, or do you have sort of a larger direction you're hoping to go?
I know for me, ultimately, when I first got started, but I quickly found out that, okay, I enjoy screenwriting. I enjoy drama. Of course, I love comedy, but kind of mingling all those things together. So I love creative writing. So this has really helped me tap into another level. It's like, okay, I really want to turn this into a professionally shot series. So that's my new direction for it. I mean, from the first video to now, I've upgraded, you know, how I do it and made the each video longer, but getting to a point where it's a full-on series where I have other characters and I have, okay, this is the origin story. This is the prequel, you know, stuff like that. So that's the direction I'm headed. You know,
yeah,
it takes some time because that's a lot of planning. It's easier to do it when it's just me, but
yeah,
you add in a cast and it's a lot. So, but yeah, that's the direction I'm headed.
Yeah, you're building out the bug universe.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you what do you think it is about bugs that just made it take off? Is it the fact that it's so relatable? Everybody knows bugs. Everybody's got issue with some bugs.
I think from that first video, everybody, I don't care who you are, if you a bug lover, nobody likes mosquitoes. So I think taking that concept and adding human personality was something different. So people kind of took to it. That's my thinking. You know, everybody says, these mosquitoes, everybody's always swatting and you know, killing them. But I think that is what really took it to another level, you know, just from the vantage point of a bug. Say, even we can't stand mosquitoes. So I think that's what really took it to the next level.
Like a few years ago, one of my videos was mosquito sees therapist. So I dressed up as a mosquito and I was playing the therapist too, where he was holding like a magnifying glass. Mm-hmm. And that one, like I was like, oh, this one's going to crush. This one's going to do so good. And it did fine. It did good. But it was one of those videos where like, man, I wish this, like, I think this video is going to murder. And it did okay. You know, there's a lot of those videos like creators out there.
I've had so many over the years. Dog, this is the one to get me on SNL and get like 2,000 views. I'm like, man, y'all don't know what good stuff is.
Right.
But I mean, the audience, they like what they like. And again, man, I mean, I knew this video. You have a good feeling. You've been doing it long enough. You know, like, okay, this is going to do pretty well. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea that it would do this. You know, but and I'm glad it did.
Yeah, because it's kind of a life changing thing for you. Because before it, how many followers did you have on Instagram before that took off?
So I dropped the first video of bugging May 22nd. Before then, I was actually slowly increasing within a couple weeks before that, and I was at like maybe like 120,000, mm-hmm. and probably by the time this podcast comes out, I'll be at 500K.
Yeah.
So you're talking about within a couple months, man, just 370, you know, just in a couple months. So yeah.
It's cool to see like how it pops off like that really quickly, because I feel like there are a lot of people that have been at it for a number of years and are at sort of the verge of like giving up or just saying, mm-hmm. oh, it's not for me. But a lot of times it is, you know, just a video away, like going from it being a hobby, a thing you want, to a thing you have. So it's just kind of staying in that creative, that sort of creative focus, you know.
And you've been creating content long. And how long you said you started when creating content?
So less time than you actually. I shouldn't say that. Probably more time, but I mean, I started in like 2008 working like in this sort of journalism entertainment kind of world. And so that's when I started doing like weekly content. Back then was like for MTV. But then
how old are you?
08. I'm 37, dude.
Okay. All right. That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in college.
I was a sophomore, I think, in high school.
You didn't need to say that.
I had to follow up. So I had to say that part.
You could have just said sophomore, though. You didn't have to.
In high school. I want the people to know where I was.
Right. Yeah.
You're 37.
I am. But what I'm telling you is you didn't have to let the people know where you were. You could have let it sit there. But now I'm kind of seeing something about.
But I just wanted to be generous for the people. I didn't have to, but just for the folks, man. For the So, 08, you've been doing this thing, but you've seen social media change a lot. You've seen the algorithm and stuff and all of that. And like you going back to what you were saying about giving up, and you know, the past couple months before all of this, I'm like, man, what is going on? It's like, I got 100,000 followers, but why am I only getting this amount of views? Like, this is, am I doing something wrong? But you know, you keep chipping away at it, and here we are.
So, and are you at a place now where you're like, can you move tickets now from a stand-up perspective? Are you like selling out?
I won't say selling out, because that's another part too. I haven't been headlining for long, but I've been doing shows for years, and you know, I have been able to move some tickets, but now I'm really getting to see okay, can you move tickets by yourself? And this is your show. You're not featuring for somebody. This is Nate Russ. This is you. So we'll see. I have my show in Atlanta, August 25th. Some tickets are moving. Of course, we always want to sell it out, but with some more promotion, it's going to be a nice turnout.
Nice. Yeah. Where are you playing down there?
Atlanta Comedy Theater.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, Atlanta Comedy Theater.
Oh, that's great. Well, people will have to check out tickets. Where can they get tickets? We'll do a plug at the end.
But at atlcomedytheater.com. Just atlcomedytheater.com. Get those tickets. 7 o'clock, August 25th.
Nice. So what part of Indianapolis did you grow up in?
I kind of live east side, mainly, of Indianapolis. Yep, east side. Yeah, no west side. Yeah, all the east.
Were you sort of comedic growing up? Did you have aspirations of doing this, or what did you want to be as a kid?
Man, as a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to do, man. I like doing drama and theater as a kid. You know, at my church, we would have like Christmas plays and stuff like that. And I would play like a Roman soldier beating up Jesus or something like that. So that was cool. But I never as a kid was like, oh, I want to do that. It never seemed real to me. I would say that, you know, every young kid playing sports, I want to go to the league. I want to go to the NBA. I want to do this. But entertainment never seemed real, like a real career for me. You know, watching All That or Double Dare and stuff like that, I was like, it looks cool, but I'm like, I don't know how to do that. We're in Indiana. But I would say once I was in the military, I realized, like, okay, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So out of boredom, in my dorm room in the barracks, just started doing videos, and here we are.
Wow. So you went to the military right out of college, right out of high school?
I went to the military a year after I graduated high school. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. And what like inspired the military push?
Man, I didn't know what else I wanted to do. It was literally like, I knew I didn't want to go to college. I knew then I was like, I'm going to waste some money. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna waste some money. So I was mature enough to know that, like, okay, I'm gonna waste some money if I go to college. So I was like, well, what else do I do? Like, I don't want to keep valeting cars for forever. So I was like, well, join the military. They'll pay for college whenever I'm ready for it. And I signed up and I left like almost a year after I graduated high school.
Where did you serve?
Air Force. I was stationed in Holloman Air Force Base, middle of nowhere, New Mexico.
Well, what kind of stuff were you doing for them?
I worked in mental health. Mental health. I tell people that, you know, people automatically, oh, so what jet do you fly? I didn't.
Yeah.
No jets. Yeah, I worked medical.
That's great. And are you out now or any?
Yeah. Got it. I got out officially in 2016. I just served a 4-year contract. Just didn't want to renew. At that point, I was already doing videos consistently, not full time, of course, but I was like, yeah, I'm gonna try this comedy thing out. And yeah, here we are.
And so you went right then did you go back to Indy first to start up comedy? Okay. Yep. So what's the stand up scene like in Indy?
Oh man, it is, it's growing now.
Yeah.
But I mean, we had Jokers, Crackers, and I think Helium at the time. Now we only have one major comedy club, which is Helium. But the scene is growing. You know, you got your local bar shows, people, you know, will rent venues and, you know, do shows. But the scene is, it's not like Atlanta. I'll say that. It's night and day compared to Atlanta. But it's growing.
How many years were you doing it before you decided to move to Atlanta though? Like how many?
So I would say I moved back to Indy in 2016 and I moved here to Atlanta in 2022. So 6 years.
Oh, got you. Okay. So you were like, did you feel like there was potential for it to move at all, or that's why you just got out of there? Like there wasn't, if you wanted to grow, you had to pick a spot and relocate.
I had grown on social media, you know, I was still pumping out videos at that time, but I knew that Indianapolis was just, they're not hiring for talent and comedy and entertainment how Atlanta is.
Right.
So I understood that, okay, it's kind of a glass ceiling here in Indy. So to take it to another level, I feel the right decision would be to move to New York, LA, Atlanta. And out of those three places, Atlanta was the most affordable. So I was like, well, let me go here and try it out. And it's been working.
Yeah, that's great, man. And do you find like the sort of the energy there is something where you can collab with people? People are doing things. It just it kind of gets going easier.
Everything that I had written down or that I had in mind that Atlanta would be, it is. Or it was. It's all of those things. It was the collaborations, the networking, the ability to get on stages with people that I look at and look up to and have studied for years. It is all of those things and then some, you know. So Atlanta was definitely the right move in the right direction for my comedy career.
Is there anything weird about like you being a Midwest guy going down to Atlanta? Any like what are the sort of social differences that you see, or what are the cultural differences?
The accent, you know, yeah. It's hard for people to pinpoint where I'm from. Atlanta, they have and there's a difference between an Atlanta accent and a Georgia accent, because Georgia gets real country.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you get outside of 85 or 285, but people, it's hard to pinpoint where I'm from. Like, are you from St. Louis? Are you from Milwaukee? No, I'm Indianapolis. And I'm always the first person they've ever met from Indiana. And I hear the assumptions, like, I thought it was nothing but corn. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is. But like, I didn't know it was black people in Indiana. Yes, it's all nine of them, all related. But, you know, it's hard for people to pinpoint where I'm from. But social norms or differences, not a crazy amount of differences, I would say, that I've seen. It's nothing huge, I would say.
Right. I live down in South Carolina. I live in Greenville for a little bit. Gerville is how they would say it. Gerville. Something like that. Uh-huh. They wouldn't say Greenville. They would say Gerville, like, Gerville.
But they're talking about Greenville.
They were, but I can't even do it. There are people in Greenville listening to how I just said Gerville, and they're like, you're an idiot, you know?
Okay.
But that was kind of Gerville. Yep, there you got it. Or but the accent was really impressive. They knew exactly where I wasn't from, you know, when I was
where you weren't from.
Yeah.
You definitely ain't from right here.
No, but that's that Midwest to Southern thing. I feel like there's a lot of sort of similarities in like there's a lot of niceties, at least to your face, in both places. And then, you know, it's got certainly its differences too. But I got a kick out of living there. There's a lot of the same love for like hunting and outdoors stuff, and just like, yeah, not being inside at least until the summer comes. What's worse, a Midwest winter or a Southern summer?
A Midwest winter.
Yeah.
I don't mind the heat. I really don't. I much rather be outside. You know, I don't have to go outside at 12 noon every day, but you know, a Midwest winter, bro, you're from there. I remember the blizzard of 2011, man. That was my senior year in high school. I had to bring that up again because you're 37.
Thank you.
I'll never forget that, man. School shut down for 4 days. There was literally layers of ice. And I mean, hell, even a couple years ago, I think it was it was 2022, like January, we got like 16 inches of snow. And it was just, the salt trucks were turned over. I'm like, get out of here.
It's really? Those Arctic blasts, I think, is what it is, where it pushes in from the pole. It definitely gets gnarly. But those,
man, what would you say?
Because you live
in South Carolina, so I did.
Those summers are brutal, man. Like it gets hotter than hell. But at least like at night, it's nice. You walk out, it's great. So I would say, look, I like to ice fish, so I'm gonna go with the Midwest winter. I'll take that because I like that whole situation.
Okay.
But It's, you know, anything, you just kind of make the best of it. You got no other option, man. Really, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. All eyes on U.S. women's soccer today as they battle Brazil for the gold. The match underway, the U.S. up 1-0. And on the court, says ABC's Dana Norman in Paris.
The women's basketball team continued their reign of dominance, trouncing Australia 85-64. They'll now play on Sunday for an unprecedented 8th consecutive gold medal. And making its Olympic debut, breaking. Japan's Ami Yuasa coming out on top, wowing the judges with her fierce power moves and top rocking, setting the new gold standard.
Dozens of people reportedly killed, including children, after Israel launched a new round of airstrikes on a school complex in Gaza. The IDF saying the location was also being used as a Hamas headquarters and hideout. Both Vice President Harris and former President Trump making their cases to voters this weekend, as new polling analysis suggests that the race is now dead even. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewer bats were hot again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew jumped out to an early lead. Two men on base. Bottom of the first. Willy Adames at bat on Apple TV.
It's one in the air to deep right field. Fraley is back out near the wall. It's gone. Opposite field. Three-run homer.
The crew went on to beat the Reds 8-3. A strange start to the night when the new giant $14 million scoreboard in center at AmFam Field went dark and stayed that way. Crews from the manufacturer due in Milwaukee today to try and solve the problem. NFL, the Packers play the Browns this afternoon in Cleveland. Sean Clifford is in his second season with the Pack. As Jordan Love's backup, Clifford asked if he gets nervous before these preseason games.
I think everybody gets nervous. I think they're probably lying if they ever say they do or not. And if they aren't nervous, then I always think that nerves means you care. So I always get a little nervous, but once you're out there, it's back to 11 on 11, and it's just an absolute blast.
That's Packers quarterback Sean Clifford with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high around 72. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 50. Sunshine and highs in the mid-70s on your Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 54. Slight chance of a shower on your Monday, otherwise partly sunny and 76.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack about Project 2025's impact on the U.S. military and the state of education in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and you are listening to the Cripes Cast on Civic Media. Here's my conversation with comedian Nate Russ. When it comes to, like, thinking about, like, career and kind of where you take this and how you parlay it, are you hoping, like, do you want that sort of that dual career kind of throughout, like, where you're doing, like, the videos transition to shows, the stand-up sets transition to, like, a stand-up tour? Or are you hoping to go down one path or another one?
You know, man, I look at Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, you know, those guys that I truly look up to. And they did the dual thing. Well, Eddie Murphy did for a little bit. Then, you know, once he got in the movies, it was a wrap. There was no more stand-up. But I love both. You know, I do want to take just the skits and sketches and turn those into full-fledged shows and, you know, networks and, you know, YouTube web series, things like that. But I also love the stage. That the stage is one of those things I don't ever want to leave. you know, I truly do want to take this into a tours and Netflix, or not just Netflix, but comedy specials and albums and things of that sort. So, yeah, man, dual.
Do you kind of get the thing, though, if people know you for your videos, they come to one of your shows and they're expecting some of those bits? Do you incorporate that for that fan base at all? Or
so this first show, August 25th in Atlanta, this will be the first video, the first show since all of this new stuff has happened. So I have to kind of put into people's mind, don't expect me to come out strictly talking about bugs or doing act outs of dragonflies. Like, that's not what this is. But I would say before all of this, not really. People didn't really expect that of me, to do things they saw in my videos, talked about in my stand-up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's, I don't want anybody to be like, are you going to be a roach on stage? Like, no. Like,
yeah.
Don't come expecting that.
Yeah, I got you. What is your stand-up? What kind of topics do you mostly go after?
My upbringing, man. A lot of church. I grew up in church. A lot of that. A lot of family stuff. The workforce. A lot of that. Past relationships. I'm not a topical comedian. I don't really do current events.
Right.
A lot of my stuff is evergreen. So I just, a lot of family, a lot of upbringing, a lot of jobs, you know, true experiences.
Yeah. It's nice to not be topical, because then you don't have to constantly pay attention to the news and all that sort of stuff, you know? Yeah. And then your jokes last a lot longer too. You have a lot more time to perfect
them. Yeah, man. Somebody finds me 10 years from now, whatever I was talking about then is, it's still true.
Yeah, yeah. You grew up in the church. What church you grew up in?
I grew up Baptist, man.
Okay, cool.
Grew up Baptist. A lot of singing, a lot of dancing, you know, like David danced, a lot of, you know, all of that stuff, man. A lot of, even though it was the Midwest, it was kind of like Southern Baptist.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, then it's Black church. You ever been to Black church?
Yes, I have. I'll tell you this. Growing up, couple places, South Carolina and LA, and Dallas as well. But I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
And, I remember my first time going, I was like, oh my gosh, it's just like the movies. You know,
was it a Baptist church?
It was a Baptist church. Yeah.
Good old Baptist.
It was so much fun, man. I was like, you guys can't have this much fun in church. It's not allowed.
I'm glad how long was the church? How long?
A long time.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah.
I was, because Catholic, first of all, Catholic, you get there. It's the same in every language. You can go to, there's this one Hispanic service I go to, where it's in Spanish. My Spanish isn't great, but I know exactly where we are at all times.
Don't miss it.
It's an hour. And if the priest makes it go over an hour, people are pissed. They got the music, but the music is, you know, fairly boring. People sing off key. And if we sing more than two verses, people are like, what are we trying to prove?
We don't need the club mix. We come on. It's not the extended version. Let's get up out of here.
Right. But you guys take it to a whole new level. So, what's the longest service you've been to?
Oh, my God. I think it started at like, maybe it started like 11. And I think we got out when I was 23. You know, it was a long service, man. I mean, hours, you know, hours every Sunday. 3 hours, you know.
Yeah.
3 hours. The game is in the second quarter. You know, yeah. Marvin Harrison had just scored a touchdown, and we like, come on, man, we got to get out of here, man. But long service.
That is funny though. That difference. Have you ever been to a Catholic mass?
I haven't. Okay. I will go check it out, but I just haven't been.
That might be a funny video, like Catholic going to a Baptist church, or a Baptist going to a Catholic church, or something.
Now
like
you're based in Milwaukee.
Based in Milwaukee, yeah.
Okay, Okay. All right. Well, that may be something we could do, man.
We should do something like that.
We could figure that out, man.
I got a couple of shows coming up in Georgia, so we should connect when I'm down there. See about
Let's set something up, man.
It could be a lot of fun. Now, when you say you grew up in that church, was your dad a pastor or something like that? Your family?
So my father was not in church.
Okay.
That's what makes my upbringing, and I talk about this in my set, my upbringing was conflicted because my mother, she was the one who had me in church, involved in all of the different youth ministries and choir and the dance team, but my dad was in the streets. So, you know, I won't go into detail, but it was a very conflicted upbringing.
Yeah, duality, man.
Yeah, man. So, you know, you want to be like your father, but your mom has you singing the solo at church. Yeah. You know, and that stuff I talk about on stage, you know, I go into more detail. But yeah, so that my dad definitely wasn't in the church.
Got you.
He was the one we were praying for.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah,
but,
man.
You then getting into church, I mean, that probably is an entertainer. Like you build a lot of those skills, like you just mentioned, singing.
Yeah,
and I feel like, again, the Baptist church I've been to, there's such a great performance aspect to it. Like where it demands attention, you know what I mean? And like demands you feeling something. Whereas I feel like Catholic church is kind of like, I dare you to not fall asleep during this. You know, like the songs are sleepier. The priest can honestly, depends on the priest. Some priests are great, but other priests are up there kind of droning on and sort of saying like, if you're not entertained, that's your, or if you're not paying attention, that's a problem with you. They don't always make it their responsibility to bring your attention. So, and whether one is good or the other is, neither one's good or bad. It's just, that's the difference. But I feel
right.
From an entertainment standpoint and from a connecting with people standpoint, there, it's so much easier. I feel like to connect or so much more engaging. And I feel like it leads to like, maybe it inspired you as a performer. Do you think it did?
It definitely did, man. We did church plays. I was again on the dance team, praise and worship, and all of those things helped mold me into the performer I am today. Of course, with other things that I was involved in, but yeah, I see things that I do now. I'm like, oh, I remember doing this as a kid.
Yeah.
No, on the performance aspect. So yeah, man, it definitely influenced me a lot.
Do you have a bunch of siblings?
I have one sister.
I got 11 siblings. So I got bunch.
11 siblings?
Yeah, dude. I'm one of 12.
Where are you?
You're second. Where? Second oldest.
Second oldest.
Yeah.
So the oldest is how old?
38 and 21.
So from 38 to 21. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
My mom was pregnant for a long time.
How old are your parents?
65. My dad just turned 65 a couple days ago. So yeah, exactly. They got after it and they had but that was kind of fun. That's I think where a lot of my entertainment stuff came from, is just trying to, like, you know, punch through that many kids, especially at the dinner table, and we would roast each other and all that. So with your sister, did she kind of like give that to you, or did she go a different path herself? Entertainers?
No, she ain't give me nothing. We're 8 years apart. I'm the big brother. There's definitely a lot of stories and a lot of, you know, experiences that we had coming up, but I was that typical big, but I teased her.
Stuff
like that. But a little bit. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, a little bit. But dang, I'm thinking 11.
Yeah. Yep. 11, no twins.
Well, 12 kids.
12 kids. 12 kids in 18 years, I think. Something like that.
What are the holidays like?
Holidays are fun. That's what
I can imagine.
And crazy. They're just they're very crazy. There's always.
Do you have a lot of cousins?
Yeah, I got like I have a lot of like 100 maybe.
Same here.
Somewhere. Yeah.
I don't have a lot of siblings, just one, but I mean all of Indianapolis is my cousin. It's deep on both sides. Yeah.
And what's fun is once you start getting like more followers and stuff, and then you just get more cousins. People are like, you don't know this, man, but we're cousins.
Wow, and, man. People have already like, oh, you know, I know your uncle. I'm like, that's really not my uncle. That's just my dad's friend. But I'm like, all right, I guess you're my cousin now. Just don't ask me for no money.
Yeah. No, that'll come. That's kind of fun, though. What is the reaction been like from your mom and your dad, like, since your stuff has, like, kind of taken off? Have they seen a difference?
My mom, she's in the comments more than I am. she is like the IG scavenger. She goes through not even just IG, both. I mean, Instagram and Facebook. And she reads the comment. Did you see what that lady said? And this, I'm like, I didn't actually. I should pay you to manage my social media at this point. they're both super excited. She tells me about all the comments. Dad, he's super geek too. You know, he isn't in the comments and things like that, but just making sure it's like, hey, just watch out for this and don't let this person try to get over on you. Don't, if this person says they're your cousin, they're not, you know, stuff like that. So Pops, he has a keen eye for just making sure nobody's trying to get over on me and stuff like that. So
got you. That's great. Does your mom, my mom, she's very religious, and your mom seems very religious. Does she, do you ever get some feedback on some videos you put out if she thinks you may have missed the mark that Jesus had set forth for you?
Not really. Now, I will say this. The bugging series, I've specifically done this. I've kept it clean.
Yeah.
Now, on stage, I'm a little different. Yeah. But for bugging specifically, I've kept it clean. From the first video up until, because I've noticed that it spreads further.
Yeah, it does.
Clean content, it goes further, and then I see people like, oh, me and my son, we love. I'm like, okay, like I'll keep it clean. But even prior to that video, she may say something. But the thing about me, I'm very stern, and I really don't care what people say, including my parents.
Right.
So they really don't give me their opinion. Like, oh, you know, Jesus, she doesn't do that.
Yeah.
She just lets me do me. But even with that, I don't do anything extremely vulgar, even outside of bugging. So it's nothing that I would even, that she would even have to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thankfully, she isn't one of those. She's very spiritual. She loves Jesus, but she's still down to earth.
Got you.
Thank God. She isn't one of those, like, you need to repent and like don't do that.
Yeah, that has historically an opposite effect of what people want, you know, kind of reject it. But that's interesting. You bring up sort of the clean comedy side of it, because like I noticed that with my Manitowoc Minute series, like I wasn't intentionally doing clean stuff, but I was just trying to make it like funny. And it happened to be fairly clean. Except I ended it with saying the Bears, but I bleeped out the Chicago Bears. And people in the comments were talking about how clean it was and how fun it was to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did you not see the last 10 seconds? But anyway, they got over it. But I started noticing same thing you are, of how people are like, yeah, this is awesome. I can watch it with my kids. I can send it to my grandparents. And then when I do live shows, it's like maybe anyone from 11 to like 80 is there. And there is something to be said about like getting really good at stand up while, or doing these videos while keeping it somewhat clean.
I agree.
Because it's harder, I think, personally, not to say that people who are not clean are worse at by any stretch of the imagination. It's harder for me to keep it clean. I'll just speak from my perspective, but it's interesting because you see your audience get wider, but then as you see it, you now have more pressure to keep it more clean.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested for you, you know, to see like how you transition that. If the content that most people know you for is clean, then how do you perpetuate that on stage, or how do you tell people this isn't that, you know?
Yeah, man. And that's kind of where I'm going back and forth in my own mind. But at the same time, one thing I've told myself, and I tell other comics down here in the Atlanta scene, funny is funny. If you are funny, just if you have that gift, you can be funny clean or you can be funny dirty. If you're funny, no matter what you do, it'll be that. Mm-hmm. So for myself, and I found myself putting that pressure on myself and challenging myself to be clean on stage. And I still had the same level of funny. So I was like, well, I might as well. But I don't ever want to label myself as that either.
No, God, no.
You're like, oh, I'm a clean comedian. I don't want to put that label on it, because then people would be like, oh, he said damn, or he said ass. And like, I mean, it's still a clean set mainly. But then once you put that label on it, people are like, all right, we're going to hold you to that. And it's like, now I just want to cuss just because you're trying to hold me to that.
So. I know it can be limiting, and it also like it kind of puts you in, it's sort of like when you listen to Christian music, like if it's on it could be a good song, but if it's on the Christian music station, I'm like, next, you know, like, it's almost like how you set the bar for it. And even if it's dirty, like if I always think if it's funnier than it is dirty or funnier than it is shocking, if it's funnier than it is blank, it's good to go, you know? Mm-hmm. But where I think it gets like, it goes against like my taste or my interest is if it's like more shocking than it is funny. And then I'm like, that's not exactly what I'm, you know?
Yeah. I'm not really a shock comedian to be all the way honest. I don't really go for that. Like I just tell, this is my truth. This is my story. This is, you know, this is literally what happened. But I do know comics that intentionally go for the shock, and some are funny. I do know some that are hilarious and they're very witty and clever, but others I'm like, that was, like you said, that was just more shocking than funny. Like it actually wasn't funny at all.
Yeah. And like that coming up as a comedian, like it's hard to get stage time. And and it's just hard to be good. So you're going to be bad at being a shock comedian before you're good at a shock comedian.
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be, that might be a more difficult role, because you're going to get less stage time. Because if you're like clean, not even I'm a clean comic, but if you're generally clean, you'll get more opportunities than if you're not. So it's just, and getting good at stand up is just all about stage time. So
absolutely,
you know, it's kind of like, do you want to set yourself up to get more reps or not? Exactly. And then I feel like being a shock comedian is really something you can grow into once you kind of have your bearings of the rest of comedy, you know.
You hit the nail on the head, man. I would tell anybody, if they want to do the shock route, get good at it first. Get good at stand-up, period, first. And then once you are able to get stage time and, you know, you have your own shows, then branch off into that. But, I mean, if you look at most comedians who may be dirty or whatever, a lot of them did start the route of, I mean, hell, Richard Pryor, he was a squeaky clean comic starting out, and then he branched off, and you know, the Richard Pryor that we all know and love today.
Folks, that is it for now. If you want to listen to my full conversation with Nate, check out the Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490. Soaring high above